Pastor has taken us through on the life of David. I want to point out some things that are contrasts when it comes to Saul. And if you will, think with me for just a moment before we read. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Take, for instance, Saul. Over here, Saul. Chosen by God. Because the people complained. Here's David, chosen by God. In between Saul and David is a young man called Jonathan. Now, if you check your Bible closely, very closely, you'll find that you cannot find almost anything wrong with Jonathan. Now, was he perfect? No, he was not. Of course not. But he was a young man caught between, and yet as loyal as could be, and endeavored to honor God. He really did. At the risk of life, he disobeyed his daddy's commandment that they weren't to eat. He would have been killed on the part of Saul, his daddy, had it not been for the people. The people spoke up for him and rescued him. Saul had made a foolish decision. That isn't the only foolish decision he made. And so Jonathan is here. Saul is here. David is here. I want you to notice with me some contrast, but first I want you to read with me verse 22 of 1 Samuel 8. Look at verse 22. Do you see it there? All right, will you read it with me out loud? And the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man unto his city." Now, look at the next, actually chapter 10. Look at chapter 10 and look at verse beginning with 24. And I'll read these verses from verse 24 I'm reading. And Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people?" And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king." Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Now notice this last verse. But the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace. Now we'll pray. Father, thank you for tonight. And thank you for this blessed book. And thank you for what you give us, the truth. May we carefully consider tonight, all in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God and the benefit of your people. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think one of the keys for any person, Christian, is to address the issues that they are aware of in their life that need to be straightened out. Sometimes we're aware of some weaknesses, or they're pointed out. Maybe a person does so. Maybe the Spirit of God does so. It is serious if you let them go. When you're young and God deals with you, you see the issues, you do your best to make the corrections. You're far better off when you're an adult. You're far better off in the vineyard of God. Because those discrepancies, those weaknesses, I'm not talking about the ones that you don't realize and the one you don't know. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones that you're aware of and the Spirit of God puts His finger on it. And you know it. And you ought face it. And you ought confess it. And you ought be done with it. That's what I'm talking about. Now, if you will watch closely, look at these striking contrasts beginning in 1 Samuel chapter 16. In verse 13, here, the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon David. And you see the Spirit of the Lord is departing from Saul, verse 14. Into the one, David is anointed with oil. And in the other, Saul is troubled with an evil spirit, verse 14. Samuel was mourning in verse 1. Saul is refreshed, verse 23. Samuel approached Jesse with an heifer for sacrifice, verse 2. Jesse sends David to Saul with bread, wine, for a feasting, verse 20. David was acceptable in God's sight, verse 12. Here, he found favor in Saul's eyes, verse 22. Before he was tending sheep, verse 11. Now, he's playing the harp in the palace, verse 23. See, here's the point. God did not set David on the throne immediately. After his anointing, there was a testing. And the coming of the Spirit upon him was followed by his having to face the great enemy, representative of the devil, Goliath. The next thing, you see David's being sent to calm Saul, who was terrified by the evil spirit. And then shortly after that, of course, he meets Goliath. Samuel was the last of the judges. Saul was the first of the kings. Jonathan was the first prince. David was the greatest king. Now keep these things in mind as we move through this. There was an early promise. You find it referred to again and again in 1 Samuel chapter 9, clear up and through chapter 12. Saul was a magnificent man. Physically, he had tremendous superiority. He was called choice. He was called goodly. He was called impressive. His health, his height, he was handsome. He really was quite a man. Don't get the idea that he didn't start right. He did. He started right. He had commendable qualities of disposition. He had a humility that was modest. His discreetness, chapter 9, verse 21, verse 10, verse 22, verse 27. He had a generosity, chapter 11, verse 13. He was a consideration, had a great consideration for his father, chapter 9, verse 5. He had courage, chapter 11, verse 6 and 11. He had a capacity for strong love, chapter 16, verse 21. He had an antagonism against evil spiritism, chapter 28, verse 3. He was especially equipped by God in becoming king. God gave him. Now, notice this word. God gave him another heart. Not new. Be sure you keep that distinction. Not a new heart. Another heart. He became another man. Chapter 10, verses 6 and 9. The Spirit of God came upon him. And he prophesied with the sons of the prophets. He was given a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Chapter 10, verse 26. And he had a trusty counselor, Samuel, at his side. An opportunity was given him that was certainly most rare. What was it? The opportunity, the privilege, the power to rule for God. That was the idea behind it. To rule for God. Like a vice regent. And here he is, placed in this position, every bit of it by God, through the anointing of Samuel. So here's this magnificent individual. Remember what I said in the beginning? You want to be sure that those weaknesses that you're aware of, you address them. God is able. The older you get, the less you'll want to change. There's only one thing that makes the difference with that. The refreshment that you get from God on a daily basis because you're in the Word of God and you're praying as you ought. That's the only thing that will keep you from being settled and get to the place where you don't care if you change. I want to be sure as an old man that until I die, I'm aware of whatever the Spirit of God points out to me and that I make the change by the grace of God and I don't stay like I am. Amen, amen. And every child of God ought to feel the same. Let me say it again. You take a fellow, bless the Lord, like Jeremiah. He's young enough that all kinds of things that he's aware of, that he addresses them. And God changes them. And the more that's so, the more mighty the man becomes for the glory of God as the days go by and he gets older. And if there's anything that ought to be said, every single woman who's saved, every single man who's saved, they ought to want to be mighty for God. And so, soon with Saul, there was a defection. I want you to remember, when his daddy sent him out to look for the animals, he was looking for the donkeys. Don't miss this. And he searched and searched. He and the one man with him. Couldn't find him. Then the tenderness of Saul is seen and known. He said to his partner, we better go home because my daddy is going to get worried about us instead of the donkeys. Did you get that? He had a concern for the concern of his daddy. The young man with him said, wait a minute. He said, listen. You know, somewhere here in this area, there's a seer, meaning a prophet. And he said, you know, if we'd go see him, whatever he says comes to pass. And he could tell us where these lost animals are. And so Saul said, well, Okay, but I mean, what would we bring him? Because when you went to the seer, when you went to the prophet, you always carried with you a gift. That's the way he lived. His job was to walk with God, to prophesy for God. So he couldn't be out in the field working. And so it was noticed and a custom that he be cared for by the people. And the young man said, well, he said, listen, I have a bit of money. And he said, we'll give that to him. He said, okay, let's go see him. And then through a process of asking the people, then they got to see Samuel. And then it was from that time when Samuel spoke to Saul. And Samuel had been told by God prior to the appearance of Saul that Saul would be the one that he was to anoint to be the king over Israel. And so they find Samuel. And suddenly there's a knitting in the heart of Samuel for Saul. Like this. Like that. Not like this. But like this. And his heart, Samuel, and Saul's heart towards Samuel became wonderfully welded together. Now remember that, and later we'll refer to it. But with Saul then departing and going and beginning the ministry as the king, you remember the story that Pastor brought out so vividly. He was told to offer, wait for Samuel to come, and Samuel would offer a sacrifice. And he didn't do it. He offered it himself. It was a violation of what God had said. Now, he made a choice. He didn't have to do that. He wasn't patient. He didn't trust and obey. Let me tell you, every time, no matter what the issue is, every time you don't trust and obey, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And the sad part is this. When you're in trouble, so are others. You take a leader of any sort in the realm of living for God. You take a leader. And he begins to slide. He begins to do some things he ought not do. It will harm and hurt many, many people. Some pastors have gone astray. Some of them have been my friends. Pastors had the same. They had to make a choice when they went astray. Did you get that? Don't belittle the importance of choices. Be sure that in your heart and life on a daily basis, you seek the wisdom and understanding from the Word of God and from God Himself about when you make a choice, make sure that it's in the name of Jesus and it's for the glory of God and the benefit of people. Make sure that's true. Don't let that slide. But Saul didn't do it. He made his choice. And you know what happened. And then a confrontation on the part of Samuel. And then a lack of truth on the part of Saul. That rash willfulness. And it imposes, hear me carefully now, if you check chapter 14 and verse 24, it imposes a death sentence on any man who eats that day in the case of what God said that the people were not to do. Now connect that with the choice that Saul made. When he didn't do what Samuel said, and when you don't obey God, your thinking is not straight. Did you get that? You want to twist your thinking? Disobey God. Because when you disobey God, you're on your own. Unless you confess it and make it right. And if you have twisted thinking, you'll make twisted choices. And so he said the people were not to eat. Saul said when it comes to the people and the soldiers and Jonathan ate and he was refreshed, and you heard me say earlier, and the people rescued him. What's going on here? It's a twistification in the mind of Saul. He's the leader. He's the king. He's made a mistake. And if it weren't for the people, then the young man who lived for God would have lost his life. And so, chapter 15, when you see the disobedience and the deceit, when Samuel told Saul to destroy those Amalekites, and he shifted the blame. And from that place on, check your Bible, from that place on, here's what you'll find. You'll find that the decline picked up speed. And the life of this magnificent man went clear to the bottom, so that he ended up asking the advice of a witch. And he himself outlawed witchery in the kingdom. You see, you make the wrong choices. You have the twisted thinking. You move on down and think you get by. No, nobody gets by. Nobody gets by. God has an accurate way by which, in His perfection, He keeps a record. Whatever I sense and see in my life, whatever there is in me, I had better make it right if it's wrong. If I don't, I'll be thinking in a twisted manner. That's exactly what happened to this man that God put in as a king. His thinking got to the place where it was twisted. Chapter 16, verse 14. Jealousy suddenly takes charge of Saul, and he becomes fiendish in his malice against David. Three times he tries to kill the man of God, David. Now here Saul is supposed to be a man of God, and he's trying to kill a man of God. You see? Twisted thinking. He's on the wrong track. Now, listen. He could have repented. He could have come to God. He could have made it right. And God would have forgiven him. And God would have used him. But he would not do it. Notice. Would not. Not can not. Not could not. Would not do it. And so he settled in his wicked direction. Have you ever met anybody like that? Seemed to love the Lord, would long for a good while. Later, astray. You try to talk to him. Breaks your heart. If you don't pray for them, who will? But they go on and on. When my wife and I were teaching a class in South Sheridan, had a man that was the president of our class. Fine, fine man. She wore my wife's wedding dress when he and her wife, Ray and his wife got married. The wife wore my wife's wedding dress. And they were sweet. They were wonderful people. I kid you not, they were tremendous. We had a great class. Had a good time. Great fellowship. Dr. Borkert was in the class in those days. And Ray and his wife were such wonderful servants. They owned a business, Inglewood, Volkswagen repair. He was as honest as a guy could be. He was so helpful. And one day, he showed up at my door. And I opened the door and I said, "Hi, Ray." And he handed me our record book for the Sunday school. And I said, "What is this?" He said, "I'm done." I said, what do you mean?" He said, "I'm done." He said, "I won't be there anymore." I said, "I mean, I about fainted dead away." And I said, "Ray, what?" He wouldn't talk. He settled in a wayward way. And he went astray. And today, he will not even talk about the Lord. I don't know. But it would be one thing if that were the only one. But I've known a number of others who did the same thing. Now, let me ask you something. Where do you think that started? Well, obviously, it begins when you get out of the Word of God. Obviously, it begins when you don't address any issue in your thinking according to biblical principle that you take in on a daily basis. And when you leave that alone, it begins to fester. And it goes down deep when it becomes a root. And you end up being bitter. And you blame all kinds of other people for the way you feel. And then in some cases you become a phony. And you act nice around some people and you act mean as a devil in others. What is that? It's twisted thinking. That's exactly what happened to Saul. That's what he did. And in going astray and in harming the people and setting the foolish and terrible example from a farmer to a king, from the heights given by God to the depths chosen by himself. You know what the problem was? Self-will. That's what it was. See, he never saw his need for God. He never did. Check his life. He never saw the need for God. If there's anything that I need, when it comes to anyone, it's the Lord. I need Jesus. Bless God, I got him when I got saved. But that's not enough. That's simply the beginning. The beginning of a life that's to be lived for the glory of God, addressing the issues in my life, confessing the sin in my life, growing in grace and growing and growing and growing, and intend to grow and grow and grow until I take my last breath. I need Jesus. And then, when it comes to the one thing I need the Word of God. Now, there's something that goes with it. I need Him. I need what He said. And then if I stick my nose and heart in the book, the love letter, the work manual from God, then I will not be able to ever set aside the necessity of being in the local church. Never! You can't belittle that. It's something you can never belittle. And yet we've got a nation, many Christians, who think one service a day is enough. No! We need every single time the doors are open for that time of meeting in an assembly, because the fact is, whether you know it or not, I need you. I do. Now, you may not need me, but doesn't matter. I need you. I need the Lord, and I need you. And if you think for a moment David didn't need Jonathan, you're wrong. He needed Jonathan, and God gave him Jonathan so that they were knit together the way in the beginning Saul and Samuel were. So I don't want to lay aside the book. And if I lay aside the book, then I'll be tempted and will accomplish it. I'll be setting aside God. Now you better believe that. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. Many a person has gone down the hill, and if you check with them and they're honest, it began on the day when they quit reading the Word of God and studying it and living by it and looking to it for the understanding and wisdom that only God can give. That's where it comes. And because of that, then in my heart, listen, let me tell you something. I'm thrilled, absolutely thrilled, absolutely thrilled. Let me say it again, absolutely thrilled. Every time I get to hear the man of God preach. I don't mean to embarrass him, but I'm just telling you the way it is. My wife and I were thrilled with his preaching. Hear me. I'm not being critical. I'd rather hear him preach than any man I know. You know why? Because he's that good. I know it's embarrassing for me to say this in front of him. He was supposed to be out of here tonight, so I was going to bring some of this, and he's sitting back there in the back, came in to check on me, I know. But the fact is, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Listen, I'd rather hear him than any, and I've told him that. And I'm not throwing him a bouquet, and I'm not schmoozing. It's a thrill to hear his exposition. And my opinion, if you don't have exposition of the Scripture, you ready? Eventually you'll have confusion. You have to have exposition. Now, don't don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about topical preaching being thrown out the window. I don't mean that. That's not what I mean. But I'm just simply saying that verse by verse, word by word, history by history, culture by culture, era by era, that's what I need. And Saul threw it all out. He did. He threw it all out. And look what happened to him. And so here is that unsubdued self-will, self-sensitiveness, self-assertiveness, self-centeredness, self-destructiveness. It was all a process. And the one vital condition for true fulfillment of life is your obedience to the will of God. That's it. That's it. And when you're wrong, you're disobedient, okay, you can fix it. The matter is repent, return, and relive the truth, and God restores. That's the process. Because God is the great rescuer. He's the great retriever. He's the great restorer. Listen, this is what I believe. I believe that before Saul became so astray because God wouldn't speak to him anymore, instead of music being played to calm the spirit, had he repented, God would have forgiven him. And just think of what would have made the difference. Folks, there's no substitute for repentance. There's no substitute for addressing the issues. I mean, God always gets the glory now. Whether you give it or not, He always gets it. And He's always seeking His own benefit. But there's a spillover. If you'll honor God with all your heart, you love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind, there's a spillover. And when God gets the glory and you honor Him, the spillover is this. Then He greatly uses you. And the more you honor Him, the greater will be your usefulness. That'll do it. You see, it's not asserting yourself. No. No, it's exalting Him. And so for us tonight, you get saved, grow. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You obey the word of God. Repent when you're wrong. Rejoice when another gets right with God. See, He always wins who sides with God. Now, it's not on your own. It's under that umbrella that God has placed over you. It's not on your own. It's in Him. And see, God's will is the sweetest to Him when it triumphs at our cost. Did you get that? It is going to cost you. There's a price to pay when you live right. There's a price to pay when you live wrong. Which would you rather pay? And so, there's the development of the child of God. I want to be sure that in my home, at this point in life, that my example, by the grace of God, is what it ought to be to this girl right here. See, I don't want to place a stumbling block in front of her. And I could. If I were ornery to her, that's unthinkable. It is. That's disobedient if I do that. If I don't treat her with the most tender care, in light of the fact that he treats me with the most tender care, and if I don't do my best to treat others with the most tender care, then what does that say about my appreciation for the fact that he treats me with the most tender care? Huh? And therefore, I don't want to be an offense to her. I mean, she's probably going to not let me stay at home tonight, but I want our home, my love for her and her for me, be because we recognize his love for us. Now, folks, that's where it is. And then the result of that is that together in our life, we're doing what we can so that a boy named Josh Baird can become mighty in spirit. And to us, that is important. Let's pray. Our Father, it is in the name of Jesus. Wonderful name. Wonderful Savior. All together. Please, Lord. May it be so for this crowd. Every person, from the youngest to the eldest, and from a Wednesday night prayer meeting, not just this one, but others, may we come out of it and be such a blessing on Sunday, morning and evening. And may we endeavor with all of our hearts to obey you in every aspect of the Christian life. Lord, please help us. A city that is headed for hell. Like this girl Kiana that I talked about. Oh God. If she doesn't get saved, she'll bust hell wide open. Oh God. Please. And all of it begins in the heart in obedience to you. For the sake of Jesus, we give you the praise. In his name, amen. Pastor, now you come.